You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Allison Sutter from MLB.com here to talk to Ken Gernick, who has been covering the now NL West champion Dodgers all season long and certainly covered the recent clincher over the San Francisco Giants. So, Ken, let's just talk a little bit about the game and the celebration. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw had a typical Clayton Kershaw outing, a one-hitter in a game that wasn't really close. But so I guess we can't expect anything less from him, but he seemed to be just electric last night.
Yeah, he sure was. And, you know, you could kind of tell before the game. I actually walked in the stadium with him. He just looked very confident. He looked like a guy who said, enough with this messing around here. Four-game losing streak, let's get it over with, and he pretty much did it by himself. He scored a lot of runs, but he wasn't going to get beat. As long as he had one run, he was going to win this game. And even though he's up against Bumgarner, who might be the only pitcher who really could go toe-to-toe with him, in this game there was no match, really. Clayton just dominated, as he can do. And it was interesting because he came off kind of a controversial outing where he was taken out after five innings and was pretty upset about it. So I think everything just kind of lined up for him to kind of put his foot down and say, this is, you know, enough's enough. We got to get this thing over with, and he did it.
There wasn't much of a – I mean, I read the story that you wrote the other night after they lost to the Giants, and they were still feeling obviously pretty good about things. Mattingly sort of made a comment last night that seemed to be more just like getting caught up in the emotion of the thrill of winning. And, but just saying like, you know, he really didn't, it wasn't like, I mean, he sounded like he was a little worried, like if they had, you know, lost the second game against the Giants, like it becomes a little more concerning. But that wasn't, I mean, it could not have really been an issue. Was it overall? I mean, the feeling was generally like, all we have to do is win one of these games, we're fine.
Well, I think the real issue is, When the Dodgers don't have Kershaw or Greinke starting, they're sort of an average team. I mean, the statistics show. So they're not a championship-quality team. They just don't seem to have the depth of the roster and of the starting rotation. So, you know, when you get past the two of them in those next three games, you really don't know what you're going to get. So after getting swept in Colorado, and you had two shots coming up with Greinke and Kershaw, if you go past those and now your losing streak is five and you've got four more games before you get around to them, there's reason to get worried. So, you know, especially you're talking about Greinke, who had missed his previous start, and Kershaw, who had come out after five innings of a start that he really didn't look like Kershaw. So, yeah, I think there was some concern. I think they were pretty confident that between Greinke and Kershaw, they were going to get one great start. They really had a great one and a pretty good one. And so I think the way it lined up is the way it played out, you know, and that's what they were counting on. But had they lost both of those starts by Greinke and Kershaw, I think there was going to be some concern that it might actually go down to the wire.
Yeah, and that's interesting. We'll just preview just quickly just the rotation. So, you know, from what I've been reading, with Kershaw, Greinke, and then the third starter appears to be Brett Anderson, could be Alex Wood, so there are question marks there. Is that still kind of to be determined who would follow Kershaw and Greinke in the playoffs?
Yeah, very much. You know, it has been Brett Anderson has been the third starter all along since they lost Ryu and McCarthy. But he has tailed off recently. He hasn't pitched badly, but he hasn't pitched as well as he did earlier. And Wood has been kind of in and out. He has a good start and not so good start. You know, I guess if I had to guess right now, it probably would be Anderson, but they've got a week before they have to decide. Well, actually, they really have more than a week. They've got more like 10 or 11 days where they have to decide, and a lot can happen. So, you know, Mattingly didn't talk about any of that last night. I'm guessing he probably won't go into it in too much detail today or even until later next week. So, you know, whether it's that, or the whole roster, whether it's Yasiel Puig, they've got really more than a week before they have to commit to any of those things. And this isn't a management team in a front office that commits a week ahead of anything. So I think there will be plenty to mull over between now and then, both by them and the media and the fans.
And kind of along those lines, just with home field advantage still in play. And that's a big deal. And like we had talked in our last conversation about that the Dodgers are just more trying to get healthy than trying to get rested. And that's really more of what their challenge is at this point. And some guys seem to be on the mend. Kike Hernandez is back. But just how does Mattingly go from here? Because they still need to, of course, they're trying to win games all the time, but they still really need to be making a push. Yet you do want to sort of be a little bit prepared also for the playoffs. So do you see anything kind of changing in that way, or will it sort of be the same guys continuing to finish out the season?
Well, in the past, he has put a priority on resting players and getting them healthy over going for the home field advantage. The only difference maybe this year is that they played so poorly on the road. That said, they were swept by the Mets at home. So, two out of three. They lost two out of three by the Mets at home. So they didn't play that well against the Mets at home either. I think it's Mattingly's nature, really, when push comes to shove, he goes for resting and healing up his players. And the Mets do have the tiebreaker. So even though it appears that they're only one game behind at this point, it's actually two games behind it. So they're running out of time. And really what's going to have to happen is the Mets are going to have to collapse, really, at the end for the Dodgers to overtake them for the home field advantage. So a lot of that is really out of their hands.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting just to kind of look to see how everybody kind of handles these last few games. One thing that I found interesting, Corey Seager starting as a left-handed hitter started against Bumgarner, a left-handed pitcher. And it sounds like Mattingly is a little bit more willing to say that, yeah, he's kind of the guy at this point. He even had a conversation with Jimmy Rollins. So since we last talked about this, there seems to have been a little more progress in being more definitive at that position. Is that accurate?
Well, if you connect all the dots, you can come to that conclusion. He didn't say that that Seager is the starting shortstop over Rollins going into the postseason. No, he didn't say that. But
okay.
But everything else kind of leads you to believe that he's going that way. And, you know, and Seager's hitting 350 and Rollins is hitting 200. So it's understandable. Although, you know, you do have Rollins' experience in the postseason. I don't think you're going to see him buried. I think you're going to see him used. You know, he played outstanding shortstop defense all season, even though he didn't hit the way that they had hoped. And he's a better shortstop defensively right now than Corey Seager is, and maybe better than Corey Seager ever will be. But the total package right now, Seager is the bat that they need in the lineup. You know, they don't have that many guys producing offensively, and they haven't in September. So you can't just bench a guy who's hitting 350 and seems to be doing it against righty and lefties. He's gotten on base every game he started, 21 straight games. You know, it's a tough call because you do have Rollins' experience in pressure games like the postseason versus a rookie who's only been up for a month. It's not such an easy call, you know, especially for a manager like Mattingly who really tends to favor the veterans and their experience. But at least last night, that's the way he went.
Yeah. Okay, well, Ken, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I'm sure we will be doing this a couple times during the postseason, so we'll talk to you then. Thank you, Ken.
Okay, Allison. Talk to you next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.